4 years ago, it came to light that Facebook knew perfectly well the damage it was doing to vulnerable kids, and not done by accident. Their algorithms were pushing posts to children, promoting, among other things, self-harm and anorexia nervosa. Around the world, calls for children to be protected from the worst of the internet were already strong. They intensified. Late last year, polling in Australia showed 77% of us backed keeping under 16s off social media. Canberra responded. In an unusually brave move, the Albanese government has passed the first legislation of its kind in the world to keep kids off a swathe of social media platforms, and it comes into effect in December. The world is watching. Cam Wilson, associate editor of the newsletter Crikey, has been writing about the long road that's brought us to this point. He's the go-to man on the subject, and he joins me now. Cam, welcome.
Good to be here.
Now, Cam, what are kids still going to be able to do? Let's make that clear. They're still going to be able to send emails and play games and watch Bluey. Is there anything more that they're still going to be able to do without any restrictions, whatever, on the use of their phones?
Yeah, kids will still be able to go online. They'll still be able to visit the vast majority of websites. But this law that was brought in by the Albanese government last year, but set to actually kick into effect this year, is all about forcing these social media companies themselves to take steps to stop children under 16 from having accounts on their platforms. So that means that, you know, many of the platforms that you might think about that have been named when this legislation has been discussed, things like YouTube and Facebook. Facebook, obviously, you kind of need an account to do most of the things on there. So that's ruled out under this. But something like YouTube, you can still go and watch videos. You can still, you know, share videos to other people, but you can't do some of those account things. Like you can't, you know, comment on it or upload videos yourself. So, you know, when we're talking about the social media ban, we're talking specifically about this idea of there are still parts of it that you can see, passively take in, but it's about stopping these platforms from letting kids have accounts.
And is the rough idea that kids can still talk amongst themselves and all of that kind of thing, but the world can't get at them?
That's certainly part of it. The rationales for this law have been quite broad. You know, Anthony Albanese, when he first introduced it, when he talks about it today, he says, social media is doing social harm. I'm calling time on it. That's what he says over and over. What exactly that social harm is quite broad, and it's included many things and has somewhat shifted over the time that from when the law was first thought of to now where we are just a month until the deadline of making these companies get rid of kids on their platforms kicks in. These harms include everything from harmful content on the platforms. So they're saying, you know, these children are on places like Facebook and TikTok, and they're seeing all this content on there that's not appropriate for them.
Violent,
gore, explicit content. But they're also saying that the platforms themselves, like I said before, your Instagram, for example, they have harmful designs and features that make them inherently bad for you. So things like, like push notifications that bug you all the time to distract your attention or stop you from sleeping, endless scroll and recommendations that say you liked this, then maybe you like this, and maybe take you further and further down kind of, you know, more extreme rabbit holes. It has really kind of been all kinds of things that have been lumped under this, you know, general, I would say, growing fear about what children are doing online, how platforms are potentially taking advantage of them. And so it's kind of all been lumped under this quite broad law. But as you can probably tell, as I'm kind of alluding to, because it's so broad, there is a lot of different, little factors and influences in here that means that in practice, this law is quite an interesting one as we see it unfold.
I can already imagine controversies amongst, say, Christians about what kids should be able to see, or, you know, amongst anarchist parents, of which, Cam, there are some, about what they can see. I mean, there's not going to be a consensus, is there, amongst us Australians about what is and isn't harmful to children. I mean, it's one of the oldest debates in the world, what harms children.
Absolutely. And, you know, as you said in the intro, this policy is very, very popular as far as policies go. There's not many that you will test that will get the same kind of approval in theory. I think a lot of parents think, and a lot of parts of the population to generally think that getting kids off social media to do whatever else, that's probably a good thing. And so this idea of raising the minimum age, which at the moment there's a kind of de facto industry standard of 13, raising that to 16, but also putting some steps in place that actually force the social media companies to enforce this is a good thing. When I say like enforce this, you know, I mentioned there was this de facto kind of age.
There's been something there for a while.
There's been something there for a while. And that's kind of just been, it was actually based off US regulation that kind of set the level at 13. That's why kind of up until recently, you know, Facebook, Instagram, all the ones that you would think of said our minimum age is 13. But it was kind of like 13 with a wink, wink, nudge, nudge. Like the steps that they took to actually figure out a user's ages was essentially the honesty system. You know, they'd say, how old are you? And there'd be a drop-down menu and you'd be like, yes, I'm, you know, 105, and they'd let you right in. This law is actually now going to set higher expectations for the steps that companies need to take to figure out your age. Everything from looking at data they already have on you to figure out your age, to scanning your face, to even requiring you to upload your ID to prove that you are over 16 and can have an account on that platform.
I'm not sure whether it's defeat or exasperation or running out of imagination, but the government is leaving it to the companies themselves to come up with a way of accurately assessing the age of the people who's using their platforms. Now, how, Cam? How?
Well, if you ask the government, they would say, we're the government, you're the tech heads, you can figure out the details. What we're going to do is say that you have an expectation to do this. And so the law that we passed was quite a bare bones one. It just said you have a reasonable expectation to take steps to stop children under 16 from having these accounts. But what those reasonable steps are is not clearly defined. Over the years since they passed the law and then this, you know, forthcoming deadline of when it actually kicks in, they have done some things to provide guidance. They ran, the government commissioned a kind of trial of these new emerging age verification and estimation technologies that can be used to try and figure out someone's age when you're online. And so, as I mentioned before, that's everything from things like scanning your face. You know, there have been real, advances in technology that now allow you to essentially take a kind of video selfie and for them to be able to say, based on, you know, all of the things that we can see about your face, you're probably this age, you're probably over 16.
But hasn't testing of that shown that it's pretty much bullshit? I mean, look, I have to say that a photograph of my face would clearly indicate, despite flattering things that people say about me, clearly indicate that I'm over 16. Ditto you have a beard. But I understand that, you know, you can't really tell very accurately whether somebody is 18 or 15.
Yeah, look, I could imagine how two people would look at us and say maybe it's hard to tell whether we should still be in social media or not. But let's say for everyone else, you know, these technologies, they are clearly, how do I say this? Like, there are cases in which they are useful. And so, for example, the more kind of, you know, if someone is 30, 40, 50, that's kind of easy to tell. But when you start to get to that cutoff, that 16 cutoff, they become less and less useful. But there is still something kind of useful in the technology that they can say, we're not going to give you a false positive. We're just going to say that we don't know. And so when we say we don't know, then you can use one of the other methods. So, you know, the government says this is one of the things that you might use to try and figure out a user's age. And, you know, the proponents of that technology say that, you know, this might seem kind of like hard to imagine because we just so much associate face with identity. Yes. But actually scanning someone's face, assuming that you don't know what their identity is actually a way to tell someone's age that doesn't necessarily need to be linked to it. Like, and by that I mean, you know, you can scan your face, and if this company doesn't have your government ID because it's just scanned your face, it can just be like, well, we think you are over 16 or not, without necessarily knowing that it is David Marr or Karen Wilson who is over 16. Verifying their age.
Maybe rough enough is good enough.
Well, that's the thing. And so the government has said, and the eSafety Commissioner, who is the Australia's government, you might call them internet regulator, they've been tasked with doing a lot of the reforms around online safety. They were, under this law, was said, you need to come up with some guidelines for these companies to essentially lead them into this process of what we might reasonably expect them to do. Because, you know, as I was saying before, the government is saying, we're not telling you how to do it. We're saying that you must take reasonable steps. This guidelines is saying, these are some of the reasonable steps that you might take. This is what it might look like. And in that they say, they talk about what's known as a waterfall method, which is as you depending on how risky the platform is and also how much information you have, you might go through a number of steps that go from less onerous to more onerous to prove your age. So, for example, one of the things that we know that these social media platforms can do is they can actually tell a lot about us without ever having to scan our face, without us ever having to give government ID.
Because of what we look at.
Because of what we look at, because of even just simple things. Like this is, I don't think people will find this like too creepy at all. If you've had a Facebook account as long as I have, I think I got my first one in a few years after it launched in 2008. I feel like I'm dating myself there. That means my account is 17 years old. You don't need to be a kind of technical whiz to understand that the person who has that account is probably older than 16.
Is an adult. Yeah.
Exactly. Clear. And so the waterfall method is this idea that initially you kind of look at what kind of signals that you have that might be able to tell you that this user, this person on the other end of a computer who you never see is 16 or over. But if you're uncertain, if you think that they might be younger than 16, then you might ask for more, generally more onerous, but more kind of confident methods of their age. So that maybe the face scan, and then maybe if the face scan doesn't work, then saying you need to upload a picture of your ID. The idea is that, you know, initially they try to do something that is, you may not even notice. Like they may just decide, and this will likely happen to many people listening, that you'll be on social media come December 10 when they have to check everyone's ages, because of course you need to check everyone's age to know who's under 16. They'll be like, you've had an account for a while and therefore I don't need to do it. But if they aren't sure, that's when they progress to those more onerous methods.
On ABC Radio National, this is Late Night Live. I'm David Marr and I'm talking to Cam Wilson about this regime of age checking that is about to start in Australia. Cam, how keen are the companies on doing this? I mean, are Instagram and Snapchat and Facebook cock-a-hoop about all the work they're going to have to do?
I wouldn't decide them as I wouldn't call them enthusiastic supporters of the law. But if you wanted to put them on the spectrum of all of Australia's tech policy, you know, there's quite a few things happening at the moment. We've got things like, for example, the News Media Bargaining Code, which is that law that was passed a few years ago that made Meta, which owns Facebook and Instagram, and as well Google, to pay publishers. News.
But they've stopped doing that now, haven't they?
Yeah.
Some money flowed to the press and everybody was thrilled.
Yes.
But what's happened now?
Well, they're kind of working on version two. But if we're putting on the spectrum, that is worth hundreds of millions of dollars a year to these companies in terms of what's going out. They are very against that. I would put the teen social media ban a bit closer towards, you know, they're not as against it as that, but they have throughout the whole process said, we think this is a very difficult law to kind of enforce. We think that you haven't given us enough instructions and we're worried about the unintended consequences of it. So they've largely just said, and recently most of them have recommitted saying, we will abide by the law. We're not going to lead the country, but we still think there are a lot of problems with it in terms of whether it actually achieves its aim of helping kids.
What's the path been to get us to this point politically? As you were saying earlier, you know, step back and it looks like a wonderful populist cause to protect kids from this, you know, extraordinary invention that people my age are barely able to cope with. But what's the path politically been like as the work has got done? What have the reports been like? What's been the response politically?
It's been a very bizarre pathway for such an important policy. Cast your mind back to 2024, early 2024. We knew there was an election coming sometime in the next year. Anthony Albanese, back then, actually, you know, we kind of you might remember it as a bit of a, you know, I mean, it was obviously a massive victory. But back then, people were wondering, well, is Peter Dutton going to be the next prime minister? Like, is kind of Anthony Albanese, you know, destined to lose? And at that time, it was actually Peter Dutton who first came out saying, I support having a minimum age and banning kids under a certain age to access social media. And subsequent to that, Anthony Albanese said, I do too. And so then you had both of the major parties committing to it, because this policy, as we kind of alluded to before, really taps into this quite a strong feeling that politicians say that they hear from voters all the time about concerns about what's happening to their kids. We just, you know, again, I'm taking it back even further, but like, you know, going back to the pandemic when kids suddenly were out of school, a lot of time on the devices, you know, screen times went up for everyone, but particularly kids.
Of course, there's a COVID angle to this.
It is a
COVID angle to everything.
It always goes back to that. I remember hearing in the lead up to the 2022 federal election that both major parties were hearing from like focus groups that online safety, that kids and technology was an issue that was really, really a big driving issue, particularly for those kind of young couples with young kids who are often like swingy voters. And so both of them were like, we have to do something about this. I think you can draw a straight line from this to here, where they said, we're going to do something like this. We're going to restrict kids from under a certain age. The age at first wasn't actually decided. There was a campaign pushed by, there was a one by News Corp called Let Them Be Kids. There was also a group called 36 Months, which
did Let Them Be Kids mean for News Corp?
It was a campaign that they were saying that they wanted to see the minimum age, so exactly what happened, minimum age raised. And I think it's kind of important to obviously put this in the context of News Corp has kind of been in this, you know, waging this battle against big tech for a while over things like the news media bargaining code. Yep. They are, of course, very often the enemy in tabloids, you know, things that are, you know, infecting kids' minds and that kind of thing. So, you know, they had a very, very, they had a campaign. You know,
they took it up from 13 to 16 and the politicians followed.
They wanted that. And there was also another group called 36 Months, very similar thing. And that was led in part by Whipper, who is a Nova breakfast host. So you had these two really kind of populist mainstream media campaigns pushing for this. They, between those two, both of Australia's major political party leaders, and one of them was going to be the next prime minister, agreed to it. And then after that, there was this process of they'd committed to it, but they hadn't actually decided what the age was. And most of the eyes were still looking at Anthony Albanese, because he was obviously prime minister still at the time, and obviously still is, but like, you know, he was the one who was in charge. And there was this, things kind of went quiet for a while. And there was this movement as some of the state premiers started to push for this. And they started, South Australia in particular had actually commissioned a former a high court judge to do a report on whether it was possible.
And was there a general consensus on 16?
And there was this push for 16. And then finally the government announced it was going to do 16.
It's very different, isn't it? I mean, 13-year-olds really are kids. 16-year-olds are 16-year-olds. Mm. And it's very different. Why in the end did the Greens vote against the legislation? I mean, it was obviously the government voted for it, the opposition voted for it, the Greens not.
The Greens have raised really big concerns about how they think this is going to work. They've raised concerns about the privacy that I spoke about before. You know, we're talking about these face scans, uploading your ID. They've said that we're worried that this is going to kind of create mass surveillance, whether this is going to restrict people's access to platforms. Because, like I said before, you know, if you've got to check who's 16, you've got to check everyone's age. And so the idea that maybe, you know, that would restrict people of any age because they don't want to give their ID or do whatever. They've also kind of raised concerns about ideas of putting certain types of content behind age walls. So, for example, when you restrict stuff to just 16 and older, you might also, things that get caught up in that are things like sexual health, information about the world, like the war and, you know, what's happening in Israel and Gaza. All of these things, they've had massive concerns about it. And so for that reason, they've kind of said, we don't really want to be part of this. They say we support, you know, making big tech be regulated. We want to see more done about this. We just don't think that this is the way to do it.
In the last moments we've got, what do you think is going to happen in something like, is it 40 days' time, this world first system comes into effect in Australia? What's going to happen?
I think there is going to be a bit of fireworks at the time. I think there will be high profile examples of people saying, I can't get into my Facebook account without putting in my ID. I don't want to do that. I think there's going to be people who will get around the law. A similar law was passed in the UK, and people were able to fool technology systems by, for example,
kids are very good at
this.
They
are very, very, yeah, exactly, very, yeah. But maybe this is an education in itself, but they were able to get around the systems and convince the machines that they were adults and to ultimately, you know, fool them. But I think largely we will pass that initial reaction. I just have a feeling it is going to become the kind of status quo. I think that we've had this internet for 25 years. There's largely been, restricted by age. And in a way that's kind of blip in modern human history. Most communications, you know, in modern communications, thinking television, radio, you know, movies, you got to say your age before you go see an R18 movie. It's been they've tried to restrict it. The internet has kind of been away from that. But now, because of changes in attitudes, because of change in technology, we've reached the point where now they can actually start to enforce something like that. I think we might actually just look back at the last, you know, couple of decades and say, wasn't that a different, weird time that we all experienced together?
Cam, thanks for joining us on Late Night Live.
Thank you.
I've been talking to Cam Wilson, Associate Editor at Crikey and the journalist in Australia who's been following most closely the development of the new restrictions on access to the internet for kids. This is Late Night Live.